The Philadelphia Orchestra wraps up its tour of Europe and Israel in Jerusalem. The Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns has been covering the tour, and we asked him on this last stop to give us his impressions of this ancient and modern city.
It looks like a movie, but one that you're in, and once in it, seems to haunt you from within. Such is the first impression of Jerusalem, where the Philadelphia Orchestra ended its 2018 tour of Europe and Israel. Tours usually leave no time for sightseeing, and trying to do so can be foolish anyway because you end up exhausted, or worse, hopelessly lost at a time when you should be on a bus headed to the next concert hall. But between highly intellectual panel discussions at the high-toned King David Hotel and a concert at the all-too-modern ICC Center in Jerusalem on Tuesday, I had a bit of time to go to the Old City, the place where so many of the Bible stories you learned as a child had taken place. The easiest way to get there was through a modern shopping mall that makes you wonder if the Old City truly exists. The mall is all glossy and up-to-date with coffee bars, sports clothes, and marvelous street entertainers, including a man in a traditional Jewish garb strumming an amplified guitar and singing the Beatles song, Let It Be. Much more bizarre was a similarly dressed ventriloquist riffing on pop culture references that I can only guess at. Then I climbed a steep public stairway, proceeding over a highway overpass, and suddenly the centuries fell away. I was transported back in time, way back, with ancient city walls very much intact, and acting as a gateway to a history that still seems to be a living thing, perhaps because this way of life has continued in various guises. The electronic music of the shopping mall gave way to Spartan strains of Arabic music with its tangy microtones. A few more steps and I heard something resembling klezmer, maybe older. A wide, winding avenue led to more fortress towers. Impressive, yes, and picture-worthy. People offered to take my photo in front of them, perhaps for a small fee. I wasn't going to hand my phone over to anybody I don't know. I headed for the marketplace with hundreds of sellers stuffed into tiny alcoves up and down stone stairs with odd, winding avenues going to the left and to the right. Avenues isn't quite the right word, more like pathways with a progression of smells from spices to perfumes. Your buying priorities are naturally dictated by the thought of, will I be able to get this home? I met a few cats I'm sure would love to come live with me in the U.S., though I can't imagine how I would get them through passport control. So, I settled on a watch dealer who looked as if his merchandise hadn't been made any time in the past 20 years. I like that. Bartering is a local sport here, maybe even a way of life. For me, it's a headache. Being on tour means always watching the time, and most human interactions consist of exchanging information, nothing personal. You're mobilized against doing anything extraneous. So when the watch dealer, an older gentleman whose gnarled appearance suggested a long history of life difficulties, tried to get me to pay $60 for a handsome timepiece, I didn't have the time to haggle, and I headed up the stairs to the open square. He literally ran after me, shouting the Israeli equivalent of $30. Sold. I paid, grabbed the watch, and ran for fear of missing the bus. Then I realized that the watch didn't work. Back at the King David Hotel, I was told by orchestra personnel that I had an hour longer than I thought. So I went back to the Old City. I decided that this watch dealer probably has a lot of harsh customers. So I wasn't going to be a badass Philadelphian. Hi, I said with a smile. Can we make this work? It needs a battery, he said. I decided not to say that batteries are obligatory in new watches. He set to work on the timepiece. I asked him questions, marveled at the dusty, grimy, eccentric clocks that he had collected in his tiny alcove, and decided that I wouldn't worry about catching the bus. I relaxed for the first time in days. I noticed that he was quite bent over, not just because of age. One of his hands had been mangled. Only a few of his fingers were functional, though many years in the past. Being a watch dealer can't be easy for him, though he was navigating everything very successfully. This is a good watch, he said. I agreed. You're a good man, he said, half under his breath, changing the springs on the watch to make it sturdier. He made eye contact. Thanks, you're a good man too. He charged me an extra $5. Fine. I went to shake his hand, but I thought that maybe such things aren't done in Jerusalem. An hour later, the watchman became unglued. Not his fault. He's still a good man, and the watch is still ticking.